Interview with Irving McLean, Friday, March 30th, 2001. Okay, let's just start with, were you born in Davidson or you moved to Davidson? How long have you been here?
I was born in Davidson. I was raised in a little house right there on the corner.
Mock Road and Mock Circle.
It was a two-story house built out of logs.
Mm-hmm.
And this where we are now was a cow pasture.
Mm-hmm.
And we grew up around in this neighborhood, and there were a few houses up that street around the circle.
Okay.
Mock Circle. Uh-huh. And a few down on this part of Mock
mm-hmm.
Circle. In 1950, they built houses down on the lower end of Mock. They called it Mock
Street.
Right down the way. Mm-hmm. My family moved into one of the houses, the third house down there on the left, and I was there. And in 1951, I graduated from high school. I went to elementary school up at Ada Jenkins,
mm-hmm.
and I went to high school at Torrance Lytle in Huntersville. Graduated there in 51. I wasn't quite old enough to get into nursing school. That's where I wanted to go. So
mm-hmm.
my mother sent me. I went to Johnson C. Smith for a year.
Okay.
Until I got old enough to go there. Then I went to Good Samaritan Hospital School of Nursing.
And that was in Charlotte?
In Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And from there, after I graduated from there, during my stay there, I went to Poughkeepsie, New York, for
mm-hmm.
psychiatric affiliation. And I went to O-Team, North Carolina, up in Asheville,
mm-hmm.
for tuberculosis affiliation. That's how we got the education
mm-hmm.
that we needed that they didn't offer at Good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm. So this was still late 50s that you were doing, mid-late 50s that you went up to New York and then went over?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
I graduated and from nursing school in 1956.
Okay.
Then after that, I worked at the school that I at Good Samaritan
mm-hmm.
for 2 years in medical unit. And after that, I changed jobs and went to the Physical Rehabilitation
mm-hmm.
Institute in Charlotte and worked there.
And did you live in Charlotte then? Were you commuting back and forth from Davidson to Charlotte?
I was commuting back and forth from Davidson to Charlotte. I got married in 1956.
Okay.
I need to back up. I graduated in 1954.
Okay.
And worked 2 years, and then got
mm-hmm.
married in 56.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. After I went to rehab, the whole time I was working, I was still going to school. You know, I'd still go to school and take extra courses and stuff. And I went to New York University, up to Bellevue,
mm-hmm.
and I was there for a year.
What was that
to
like?
Get physical rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
Get more
mm-hmm.
into it, and it was quite an experience.
Did you live at the hospital when you go up there? Did you just have to find a room, or?
No, each time, when I went up there, when I was in nursing school,
mm-hmm.
they provided housing for us at the hospitals
mm-hmm.
where we were. After I graduated, I stayed at George Washington Hotel on 23rd Street and 1st Avenue.
Mm-hmm. In New York City?
Mm-hmm.
You ever been back to look at that corner?
Not recently. The last time I was there, my aunt took me back down
mm-hmm.
there, and they had changed it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was I didn't know the hotel mm-hmm. when I saw it. They had changed it. And I don't know if it's still there now or not.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
And after Joe and I married, we didn't have any children. It was 10 years before we had a son.
Mm-hmm.
And I continued to work. Worked at rehab for 36 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And there, I changed different positions. In my last few years at rehab, I guess the last 15 years there, I was in administration, nursing administration. And then I did some family education during that time at rehab with physically handicapped families mm-hmm. and patients. That was, you know, that was real rewarding. I think probably I the whole time I was there, I enjoyed it because you always learn something different,
mm-hmm.
learn something new by working with those people. And, you know, there were like times we went off on workshops and to different mm-hmm. states. Like I went to Orlando, Florida mm-hmm. for a week, and went to Texas for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Arizona. I did for a week. While I was here in Davidson, I served on two different committees at the town hall.
Mm-hmm.
One was the Community Development Association,
okay.
and one was I was on there with Emily Burke and several people I was on there with.
Was it like a human relations task force, or was it one of the housing?
It was human relations task force.
Or community relations task force.
Community relations task force, that's what it was.
Yeah, were you on there when Daniel Rhodes was on it, or was he after you?
He was after I was.
How did you get on the Community Betterment Association?
I was asked by a person that was already on there, named Mr. John Brandon.
Okay.
He asked me if I would be a representative from this area on that
mm-hmm.
on that committee. And I said yes. And also for a while I was a member of the Women's League of Voters.
Mm. Here in Davidson?
Mm-hmm. Started out in Charlotte mm-hmm. because of someone I worked with there, so then I moved up here. You know, I started going mm-hmm. to the meetings up there. And then after that, I didn't get too much involved with any more committees here because Joe was on the town board
mm-hmm.
for a long time, and you know, then I just had a feeling that they didn't need both of us up there.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just ran across an article where he was elected, and I don't know if it was the first time or, and I was looking for something else in the student newspaper and
mm-hmm.
saw that he had served, and he's never told me that he served on. Was I probably in the mid 60s? Was it? I don't remember when I've been looking.
He was on that board for, 10 years, 8 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. Was mayor pro tem at one
Ooh.
Time.
Mm-hmm. Was he the first African American on the board?
No, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you need to know? Anything
I
else?
Kind of thing, yeah. Tell me more about some of these associations, the Community Betterment. What did you guys do? What were the issues?
We talked about things that were like streets
mm-hmm.
and At one time, there were no fire hydrants in this area. None. Mm. The closest one.
And lots of wooden houses.
All of them were wooden houses then. We got the town to install all that community to get some fire hydrants over in this area. And this street that's now, it's supposed to be a one-way street, but since they've been working on it, it's back to a two-way street. And I just called up town a couple days ago to talk with someone up there because about it going back to a one-way street. Because
Mock Road?
Yeah, Mock Road, uh-huh. The children, the little children that need to stay close to home
mm-hmm.
play in the street. And they don't need to have to watch both ways for a car. And while I was on that committee, we got the street changed to a one-way street for safety reasons on there. Sometimes it was easy to get things done through the town board, and sometimes it wasn't. It depended on, I guess, probably finances and where they had their thoughts at the particular mm-hmm. time, where they were not their thoughts, their focus. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, if you live around here long enough and see the people, if you really just watch them, you can almost look at them and be around mm-hmm. them a little bit and tell where their focuses are mm-hmm. and where they're thinking, what they're thinking about. Mm-hmm. And there's still some of it here now, too. It's better, but it's mm-hmm. not as open as it could be to be a small town,
mm-hmm.
you know. Is there anything else?
When you were growing up, you went to the school at Ada Jenkins here.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you shop? Did your family have a vegetable garden? Did you go to the meat markets downtown?
Yeah, my grandmother up at that house on the corner. She had a garden every year. My grandmother and grandfather did, and we had vegetables and things out of the garden. And yes, we would go what we call uptown.
Mm-hmm.
There was a general store up there called Johnny Brown's
mm-hmm.
store, and there was another store on right on the front street where below. I'm gonna see, Jasper's is now.
Mm-hmm.
There was a grocery store up there, Anderson's food store.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought things there that we needed from those two places. And I had an uncle that lived on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And he would also supplement things that, you know, bring things that from the farm that we didn't have.
Yeah, the garden.
Mm-hmm. Everything was in within walking distance.
Mm-hmm.
We just grew up around here. We never, most of the time, the kids did not venture out of the neighborhood unless there was an adult with them, unless an adult gave them permission to go. You know, we didn't. We stayed mostly in this little area.
Did you ever go to Davidson College for the football games or basketball games?
Excuse me, no, we did not. Some of the kids, the boys,
mm-hmm.
would go, some of the bigger boys would go to games at the college, but most of the time the girls didn't do that. There was a recreation teacher named Miss Flo. She taught physical ed in the school. And she would spend a lot of time with us on weekends, on Saturdays mm-hmm. particularly, riding bicycles or skating or, you know, doing mm-hmm. things like that with us. Then our parents would let us go out of the neighborhood with her.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of made our own fun, you know, our own stuff to do.
When did you start going to the movies? And did you go here or did you go to Cornelius?
We went to Cornelius. I don't know what age I was. I know I wasn't old. I wasn't a middle teenager, mm-hmm. and I had to be. I had to be more than 10 years old because we would walk down there on Saturday mm-hmm. to the movies, and I had to be back home 4 o'clock. So most of the rest of them came back too. My mother worked out of town a lot. My grandma was a sweet, lovely lady, but she was a disciplinarian. Mm. I mean, for the whole neighborhood, everybody obeyed her. And whatever she said, you know, we knew that that was what we had to do.
Mm-hmm. Was she from this area? How many generations are you and Davidson?
I'm three. She came from up, I guess you call it, it's Mount Moore.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's where her church was, Caldwell Chapel Church.
Mm-hmm.
And they came from a farm. She and my grandpa did. They had a farm up in that area. Excuse me. And they moved down here.
Mm-hmm.
And they continued, well, we all continued to go to church at Caldwell Chapel until some of us joined Reeves Temple
mm-hmm.
when it was not where it is now. It was on the other street over there. And that's where we went to church,
okay.
Sunday school. That I did until I left to go to school, go to college. The preacher at Reeves Temple started me off teaching me music lessons.
Mm.
And then a lady that my mother used to work for, Dr. Eberhardt, used to teach at the college. He was a professor mm-hmm. at the college. And his wife taught music, so I continued mm-hmm. the music with her. And
was it singing, piano?
Piano. Mm-hmm. I sang in the glee club at school the 4 years mm-hmm. I was in high school. And we had a chorus at Good Samaritan. I sang in that chorus.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a chorus at Good Samaritan when I was up there. I played basketball, baseball. I was sort of a tomboy.
Was that usual? I mean, did you have trouble as a young woman being a tomboy in that age, or was there lots of other people like you?
No,
I mean, obviously there was a basketball team at Torrance Isle. There's a picture there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There were others, a couple other girls that liked sports and things, you know. And we played with the, you know, boys. And rode bicycles mm-hmm. and things like that. Can't think of anything mm-hmm. else.
What kind of jobs people? You said your mom worked.
My mom was she did, but my mother was. A licensed practical nurse,
mm-hmm.
and she had she did private jobs mm-hmm. in private homes, and then she started going out of town mm-hmm. to jobs, and most of the people worked at the college or they did day work in mm-hmm. homes when I was growing up.
Now, Ralph Johnson would have had a barber shop. The Nortons would have had one.
Mm-hmm.
The shoe shop, wasn't there a shoe repair shop?
There was a shoe repair shop down on that street. And, oh gosh, I can't think of the man's name that had it first. I think his name was Mr. Buff. Has anybody mentioned that name to you before?
No, and I saw the name of someone who had a shoe shop.
Now, Warren McKissick.
Yeah.
Now he came later after Mr. Buff. When I was little, when I was a little girl, I think it was Mr. Buff was the shoe shop owner,
mm-hmm.
and then Warren McKissick came after him.
They live in the neighborhood, or
Mr. Buff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. McKissick lived in Charlotte. He commuted. Mm-hmm. He's now a minister.
Did your minister live here in Davidson and work somewhere else, or was he just at the church?
He was just at the church. Reverend Wells was. Okay. The first one I remember was just at the church. And he used to live around in the house across from Ralph Johnson.
Okay.
That was the Methodist parsonage.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Right across the street from him. And then after he died, we got another minister. And Reverend Revels, he came from Winston-Salem, worked at the tobacco factory there,
mm-hmm.
and he was here on the weekend. And we had another young minister, and his family lived
in the parsonage.
Eventually, Reverend Revels and Ms. Revels moved into the parsonage. They started out commuting back and forth every Sunday. There used to be a lady up there that lived where the Carolina Inn is now, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Miss, her name was Miss Henson.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard
of
that?
Did a boarding house?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Okay, she used to have a Sunday school class for some of the kids that would go to it, but I didn't attend that.
Okay. What was the hardest thing about raising your son? Would have been born early 60s, 66.
Mm-hmm.
That was 66 to 80, you know, in terms of an age. That's a rough time to raise kids, lots of changes going on. What was the hardest thing about raising somebody in Davidson, a son in Davidson during that time?
I think the hardest thing was trying to figure out what we could let him do without, you know, clutching him and sticking so closely with him. And we were fortunate because I guess we had started him off right.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept very close with us, and he would let us know what he was doing. And he and his father had, we all had a good relationship though, but he would hang out with his father a while. And then he went to private school. He,
okay, so he didn't go to Torrance. I have 65 Torrance Model. Okay.
That's he graduated from North Mecklenburg, mm-hmm. in, I think it was 84. He didn't go to Torrance Model at all.
That's right, he would have been after I was missing
my
dad. He
went to private school up until his 11th year.
Why did you send him to private school?
The Mecklenburg school system has been a problem with me forever and ever. And I know I went through the Mecklenburg school system. But when I took him over to the Davidson school, I just felt like he wasn't getting what he needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always felt like if you start training children and teaching them what they need to know to survive at a younger age, they'll be better
mm-hmm.
suited for life. And there were prejudices. And
because school would have only been integrated maybe 5 years when he started school?
Probably.
Okay.
That long.
Yeah.
And there were still a lot of problems that we had to contend with. And then I was sitting at work one day, and I would take his little stuff that he'd bring home with mm-hmm. me, with him. I'd take it to work with him sometime and look at it. And I started thinking, I said, now this is not up to par as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
He should be, you know, doing a little bit better. And when I first started thinking about getting him out of the system around here was when he was in daycare. It was a plaything.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like daycares they're supposed to be more than play. I know kids need to learn how to get along with each other, and that's fine. But if a child doesn't have that problem, he does well, then I feel like you're holding him back to just keep that. Right. And I know they can't have, they at the time, I guess they couldn't have two different systems. But anyway, we took him to Our Lady of Consolation, the kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And he went there for about a year and a half, and my husband missed him. So we brought him back up to Davidson School. And he went to Davidson School for 2 years, and I was just
not happy with him.
No. So Joe and I sat and talked about it, and he said, well, I guess we'd let him go. So I took him back to St. Patrick's Catholic School, because I worked right across the street from him, about two blocks from him, and it was convenient. And he stayed there until he, he came to North Mecklenburg in the 10th grade, and that's where he graduated.
Mm-hmm.
But by then, he was ready to come. He said, he himself said, I think I got a good background and I can make it. And he did. Things were fine. We had problems when he took the SAT test.
Okay.
He scored high. He scored in the 90th percentile. And, some of the people in Davidson didn't accept it. They wanted him to take another test. And I said, no, I wouldn't let him do it. I said, there's no way he could have cheated.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's
no way he could have cheated. So if he scored higher than your daughter did, you know, that's just too bad. And it was a prominent person in at the town at that time that was very upset about it.
It always amazes me when I hear that. I read an article recently by a woman who is Asian American, and she won some school contest, and they just didn't give an award because they couldn't give an award to an Asian child.
That's terrible.
And I thought, you know, what a thing to do.
It's terrible. And you know, if I had it to do over again, I would have left him in private school until he graduated, if I had known that, because that was probably some of the beginnings of the little things that, you know, that went on that he didn't mention until later on. And, you know, things that you don't want to see, that you don't think kids should have to go through, and that I don't think kids should have to go through.
So what is he doing now?
He is a supervisor for Blue Max. He has a fleet of trucks that he's in charge of. He always liked big equipment. First he said he wanted to be a physical education teacher. Then he changed his mind. He ran around behind his dad and driving tractors and things like that. And actually one summer he earned like $15 an hour, clearing off property for a landowner that was building up on 77. No, up on 21. And I think that did it.
Got in his blood, and that was what he wanted.
He wanted big trucks and things. So he had been driving trucks since then. Seems to be doing well with it.
Well, that's good, because sometimes it's hard now with gas prices and all of that. You really have to.
Well, he partly owned a truck with my first cousin, before he went to Blue Max on his own. And after he got married, he figured out that he needed a sure place of making, you know, earning money. And, you know, they went through a little, some times. They did okay, but they were tight times. So after he went to Blue Max on his own, he did okay. And he has done well.
What do you think I need to know? I mean, I've been picking up bits and pieces, but about Davidson.
Basically, Davidson is I guess it's an all right place to live and to raise children if you don't expect them to have a lot of, if you don't set goals that are high, then you know, you're going to be able to attain by living in a small town. It's if you want to have extra things, you almost have to have a connection with someone that's not right into Davidson. Like our son had he had horses, he had a pony, but he was able to house those at my uncle's house on the farm, and he would, you know, go back and forth there to ride. And it's things like that when you don't, if you want to, you really have to think about what you want and what you want to be able to offer a child if you're going to raise a child in Davidson. And you have to be willing to go out of Davidson in order to expose them to the better things that's not offered here. And even though there are things in Davidson at the college, there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
In what they're actually able to, there's a limit, I would say, in what they're actually able to be exposed to. You have to be able to find things like that for children as well as adults. It's almost like living two different places. Like you go out of Davidson for the big time shopping and things that you want, like the concerts and things that you want to attend, and you live here. And like all the years I worked in Charlotte, so I commuted in Charlotte. It was like I lived in Charlotte and in Davidson. It was here at night, and you have to be ready to either accept or try to make a change in some of the things, some of the areas in Davidson that are not quite what they should be. You have to be able, if you want to make a change, make it better, you need to be ready to make a change. If you want to just let it go, you accept it like it is and do whatever you want to do to tolerate it. I feel like people in Davidson, most of the people, I would say, they could have anything they really wanted in Davidson if they put forth the effort to get it. You know, I see now that there are more people that people are less dependent on the college now than they used to be, and that's good. I know at one time people depended on the college for livelihood, and that was it.
But, and the college admits it was not a very good player.
Right. And that's good if they admit that.
What about Main Street? I was reading student newspapers and was looking at different issues for the alumni weekends that are coming up, people who were here 50 years ago and 30 years ago and all of that. And there was a series of articles, I was really sort of surprised, about downtown, and they had interviewed people, and it must have been early 60s when the first African students were coming to Davidson, the two Congolese students, and they had interviewed people downtown, businesses, as to whether or not they were going to serve them. And some businesses said, we'll do whatever we normally do. And many of them admitted, like the coffee cup had half of the room that was white and half that was black, and there were places that you could be served at the counter, but you couldn't sit down. And then a few years later, they went back and interviewed some of them, and there had been a fair amount of change. But since I've been in Davidson, I don't see very many blacks on Main Street. It's not a place that it seems a lot of people you see shopping on Main Street are either from out of town who come in, or are, you know, there's a certain group that shop. But is it not a welcoming place? I mean, is it just because there's always been a tradition of such limitations that it's been easier to go? I mean, certainly for you, you were in downtown Charlotte, you could shop. There were probably shops that carried things you were more interested in than Davidson's rather limited range, mm-hmm. catering to college men.
Davidson is you just said it, Davidson is really a college town, and they're catering to the college kids and I guess what their families want. But there's really not enough, not much on Main Street to offer kids now. And my grandson, we're raising mm-hmm. a grandson. He occasionally would go to the, is it the soda shop?
Mm-hmm.
He would occasionally go to the soda shop, and sometimes he, I know kids can be boisterous, and there's a group of boys, and they go in there, so I guess they get loud, and sometimes he has complaints.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I have noticed sometimes I have let him out, and you know, mm-hmm. if they're going there, either he has left the library
mm-hmm.
and he said, pick me up at the soda shop, I'm going there and get some fries or something. And when I walk in the place, I don't feel like I'm welcome mm-hmm. in there, and I'm just walking in to get him.
Mm-hmm.
So I often wonder how they are greeted, they are treated mm-hmm. when they go in there. And I do understand that. I think it's mostly college kids that work there. Is that right?
Actually, I don't think it's college students.
It's not college students?
I think it's high school students and like community college students. But
oh, really?
There aren't. It's been a while since I've been in there. But the last few times I was there, it was not college students who were working there. Anymore. The last few years, it's been people. And in fact, I think people who sort of live out in the mm-hmm. area.
I didn't know who they were, but they weren't very personable at all. They weren't like people.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from the bookstores, I've gone there to look for books,
mm-hmm.
and because I read a lot sometimes.
Yeah.
She'll mm-hmm. order what you want, mm-hmm. but you know it's not always there.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go to Tom Clark mm-hmm. Studios. I collect gnomes.
Oh, do you?
So I quit going up there to get them. Mm-hmm. I started back going to Belk's and get them.
Okay.
Getting them either in Mooresville or mm-hmm. South Park. I get them there sometimes. There's really nothing mm-hmm. else up there, really. To offer. I thought one time that they, when they had the needlepoint or mm-hmm. hand things, I yeah. thought I would go and get involved in that because I used to do knitting and I've forgotten how to do it.
Mm.
So I quit doing it.
It comes back to you.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, I thought about going back there to get started in there again, and I did drop by one day.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't go back anymore,
mm-hmm.
and I sort of thought that was just a certain group of what, so anyway, I wasn't.
Yeah. That's an interesting, because I've had, depending upon what time you go and who's there,
mm-hmm.
I know someone who's moved to town fairly recently that went once and had a good experience and went back and just felt like she was being ignored,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if they were just busy or whatever.
Yeah, like you're intruding.
I think it depends upon who's there. And.
Mm-hmm.
Because I go all the time, and there have been times when I felt like I
mm-hmm.
wasn't much sure, and then other times when I felt really welcome, where they just let me browse around and
mm-hmm.
all of that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
do you recognize anybody in the staff or people who might have Davidson connections? It's part of what I'm doing is trying to gather some pictures. Okay, Lois Norton.
Lois Norton.
Mm-hmm.
Now her daddy was you know, Kenneth Norton's mm-hmm. fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Her daddy was Rutledge Norton.
Okay.
He, they had that barbershop together up mm-hmm. there. Those were two brothers. And Margaret Byers is her mm-hmm. sister.
Okay.
Oh. Have you talked with Margaret or Betty?
No, I think I need to get names and I need to get contacts of people to talk to. I hate calling people cold. I want to have a face. I want to know, you know, and I want people to know who I am. Because
mm-hmm.
this is, you know, it can be a difficult thing to do for people to sort of talk about history. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I want to get, because I feel like, I mean, I know that Davidson is what Davidson is because of all the communities. And that if it hadn't been for the African-American community who were providing staff for the college, who were working in the shops, who were doing child care, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the churches, Davidson wouldn't be the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be part of, when you're telling the history of Davidson, you need to
mm-hmm.
be able to say, talk about all of the churches and
mm-hmm.
talk about, you know, the economic situation that it took everybody in here. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I can write about the young ladies who, you know, were faculty who went off to college or, you know, took all these long trips and went and visited relatives. Well, they could do that because
mm-hmm.
somebody was taking care of the house,
mm-hmm.
because, there, you know, there's, so I need the stories,
mm-hmm.
so anybody that you can recommend or, you know, we'll tell them to talk to me, I would appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Margaret Byron might talk with you. She's a member of Reeves Temple.
Okay.
And she lives above Davidson. Right as you go up there around that curve, up there above Davidson, before you get to the Anchor Grill, I think is what they call it.
Yeah.
She lives in that brick house right before the Anchor Grill. And when I see her, I'll tell
okay.
you about her. Miss Johnson, and you probably, Esther Johnson.
Mm-hmm. How is she doing?
She's at church, she was at church 2 Sundays ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pat Sailstead had talked to her. I've been
mm-hmm.
talking to Pat. Pat said she wanted to talk to Esther first because they had been on some committees together, and she
yeah,
thought that Esther still
close.
Had files. And the day she went, Esther couldn't find them, and I've not heard back from Pat yet because
mm-hmm.
I'm going to. Now, how did you get to and from? If you were in the choir at Torrance Bible for 4 years, did you stay? Did buses go? Did someone have a
buses
car?
Buses would
how
come
did you
and take us to, if we went off places,
mm-hmm.
the buses would come and take us. And we had rehearsals during the school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So did many clubs meet afterwards? Or
after school.
Mm-hmm. Like the basketball team? You did everything during the day and then just
mm-hmm.
came back and...
If you went off with the basketball team, you still went. It was you still had your regular
mm-hmm.
day at school, and you stayed there, and they would give us a, you know, hot dogs and
mm-hmm.
chips for supper, and then when they brought us back home, they would drop us off, and most of the time our parents would be up there waiting on us.
What was your school year? Was it affected by farms at all or anything? Or by then, was it pretty much you went September to May? They didn't give you time off for students having to work?
Yes, we did have at one time, before I went to high school,
mm-hmm.
in elementary school, we would have, I'm trying to think of the time that we would have off so the farmers could get their
mm-hmm.
cotton. You know, pick
mm-hmm.
the cotton and get that in. And, of course, we would be off then
mm-hmm.
And help them to do.
Did you pick cotton?
Oh, yeah.
My mom did.
Mm-hmm.
I never have.
I did. In fact, when they would let us out, I had another cousin that grew up in the house with us. He and I would go up to my uncle's house on the farm and help him get his in because see, he had kids that were in school too.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you get paid? Did you get to keep any money from doing this? Or
mm-hmm. yeah.
So then what did you do? What did you spend it on? Were there,
you know,
could you
I
go to the Five and Dime or buy a doll? Or Well, because you're a tomboy, you probably got a tennis racket or something.
No, I used to keep balls around all the time, softballs mm-hmm. and bats. And but I used to save my money. I did.
I was the tightest little thing.
I would too. And even during those times, as hard times, mm-hmm. as hard as times were, mm-hmm. I can remember when my mother wasn't going to be at home, she would leave like a dollar for mm-hmm. me to have for spending money. Mm-hmm. And that was my movie money. Mm-hmm. I could spend part of that money at the movie and buy something,
a candy bar
or something like that. But most of the time I spent the money in the movie and buy something to drink, and I have to save part of my money. I remember having a little jar that I kept my money in. Yeah.
I'm having so much up once, and I worked and worked and worked, and I saved everything. And all of what I thought I was going to do with it, but that same summer I grew 2 inches, and I had to spend everything I had to get clothes to wear to the first day of school. I had nothing that fit when school started that fall.
Now, I used to work after school in high
did
school.
Mm-hmm. What'd you work?
The lady that taught me music, mm-hmm. she had 3 little boys. And I used to go to her house at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I would ride the school bus mm-hmm. out there and go to her house at 4:30. And they would bring me home at 7. I'd help mm-hmm. her with supper and help her get the little boys bathed. And if we had plenty of time, mm-hmm. I'd get do extra practice for my music mm-hmm. with her, and her husband would bring mm-hmm. me home mm-hmm. after that. And one time when I first started working at the school, I used to work up. There used to be a little cafe up there. I think it might be. I'm not sure exactly where Jasper's is right up
there.
Yeah,
but there was a coffee cup. But there was a cafe.
A cafe. Okay.
Yeah.
My aunt worked there. That's where they fed some of the students. Mm-hmm. She worked there, and I used to go there and work there with her in the afternoons from 4 o'clock mm-hmm. until 6. And then I'd have to come home and do homework and practice my music lesson. I'd have to do that 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the afternoon.
When you were 25, what was the percentage? Was it mostly Davidson, mostly Willie Cornelius, only a few Davidson? Or did you even have a sense of that when you got there?
I didn't
there,
have
did
much of a
know?
Sense of that because, there was just, I know there were a lot of buses, and there were 2 buses from Davidson. Mm-hmm. And one bus would go down through Cornelius. And,
so it didn't make any difference when you made friends in classes? And
oh, yeah. My long-term friend was from Huntersville. Way down in Huntersville, in the rural area of Huntersville, and we're still friends.
Did any of the clubs exist? And they had the student officers, they had honor society, the bands. Who were the juniorettes? Were they a choir? Were they? I look at this picture and I can't figure out.
That looks. Seemed like that was a little. A little dance group. They had I believe that's Alexander Davis right there, and he plays gospel, so that must have been a singing group. That's all he plays. But I do know they had a little creative dance group because my cousin was in it.
Did they just perform at the school?
Mm-hmm.
Must have been pretty progressive for its time.
We had some teachers that came out of Charlotte, mm-hmm. and they were progressive. Like Lorraine Flo, the one I told mm-hmm. you about that used to come with us on Saturday sometimes. Mm-hmm. She on May Day, I remember we used to have a big May Day program mm-hmm. up here at Ada Jenkins, and she had kids and mm-hmm. Students and teachers from other schools to come up.
So you do the maypole and you do dances.
Did the maypole and dances, and it was just mm-hmm. a whole big day. Mm-hmm. And parents could come by. If, you know, they could come if they wanted to. But and she used to keep us involved in a lot of competitive sports things. Like she would bring, there used to be a Lincoln Heights Community Center mm-hmm. in Charlotte. And she knew the people that were running that. And he and his wife would bring kids up here. And we would have skating mm-hmm. races, bicycle, relay races mm-hmm. with them, all up there on Ada Jenkins, at Ada Jenkins School. She would keep us doing things like that and you know, socializing mm-hmm. with other kids mm-hmm. from other schools.
Speaking of, it just reminds me, do you remember when it was an art school, or there was some sort of school of the arts that they tried to put in there for a while? I'm amazed as I go through and find all of the things that building has been. You know, it's had several sort of evolutions as...
Well, Ada Jenkins.
Yeah. I ran across one article where they were going to try and make it a drug rehabilitation center for people in Charlotte.
I fought for that.
Okay.
I fought against that. I was on the...
Is that why you were on the committee?
Uh-huh. We just did not need... Davidson wasn't ready for that up here.
Were you listening? Well, obviously it didn't happen.
I mean, I fought against it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How were you treated when you fought against it? Were there, did people listen to you? Were you?
I remember we had a meeting at up at the school, and the people that were trying to bring it here were not mm-hmm. from this area, mm-hmm. so it was the people that were from this area mm-hmm. that really. Told them how it was around here and how free that the people, mm-hmm. the kids were around here. They were planning to not use it. It was going to be like not a nightly thing. Mm-hmm. People were going to be staying there.
Right.
And we didn't want that
today.
Mm-hmm. Now this guy lives. Have you talked with Ron Donaldson?
Mm-mm.
He works
I've met his
at
sister,
the.
But I haven't had a chance to talk to her yet.
He works over at the natural food store over there.
Okay,
and
the Home of Commerce.
Ron. Yeah, Home of Commerce. He works over there. And
I'm trying to think if I've seen him over there.
He lives down the street. Mm-hmm. He lives in the second house on the right.
Okay.
And I'll tell him, because I go over there sometimes, I'll tell him that I gave you his name.
Okay.
Most of these other kids in here are not around here right
okay.
now. You know, Davidson, as far as the black kids are concerned,
mm-hmm.
I think Davidson sort of shut us out. Because when I first came out of nursing school, I actually went to the infirmary
mm-hmm.
to apply for a job. They told me they didn't have black audience. And the same thing at Lawrence and Mooresville. They told me that up there also. But, you know. In fact, I was told that I could come out there and work, but not as an RN.
As long as you could be a janitor.
I guess that's what they wanted me to do.
Staff
clean
staff.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys have theaters? Did you have to do?
Yeah, we had a drama club at Torrance Lyle, and In fact, I was in that.
Hmm. Do you remember any plays you were in?
I don't remember the names of them. I know I was in two.
Do you know anybody has pictures of any of this? Anybody have a scrapbook? I know people didn't take a whole lot of pictures, but...
You don't have one of Terrence Lytle before this one?
I've got this one, and I've got a 65, and I called the school board, and they have no collections of annuals from any of the schools. So unless you know somebody who attended and might have an annual, you can put that in the church bulletin.
Okay.
We want to find as many Torrance Lytle yearbooks as we can possibly find for...
Because now the Glee Club used to travel a lot. We had a very good music teacher, Miss E.E. Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, she used to let me play sometimes while they directed, while she directed the choir.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to travel a lot. We were in a lot of, competitions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Did you out of state or mostly you were just
in North Carolina?
Okay, and which one? He told me. You are which one?
Yes, me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Front row. Mm-hmm. Did you have a good team?
We did. Well, we did. We had a good alumni team.
Hey, this was an alumni team?
Friend.
This wasn't you when you were a student. This is, you guys came back as alums and played?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about this. Now, how did you do this?
What?
Have an alumni team. Was it just for one game that you played the regular team, or did you guys play?
We played we would play alumni from teams in Charlotte as a fundraiser for the school.
Oh.
If the school was having something, they would have.
Okay. So how many years after you graduated was this picture? I mean, let me rephrase that.
Let me see.
How long did you play on the team?
The alumni
you graduated
team?
And then when did you join the alumni team?
Anytime I was, they were having something and they called me. This is my friend right here. She and I played together all the time. She would call me and she said, "We're getting ready to get to practice for the alumni team is gonna practice for whatever. Are you gonna play this year?" I say, "Yeah, I might." And I'd end up being there.
I just think that's so I've never heard of that.
We played against the students, the high school students, the varsity team at the school.
Did you beat them?
Sometimes we did. the girls used to whine.
Mm-hmm.
They always say we were rough. But
Now, how did you meet Joe? You're both on the alumni team. You knew each other in high school, or
Joe moved to Davidson. I'm trying to think what grade I was in when they moved here.
And he told me, and I don't have my notes here.
Anyway, he moved here then, and just in.
Because he never went to Ada Jenkins, right? I mean, he moved here when he was old enough to go to Torrance Lytle, or did he go to Ada Jenkins?
I think he was old enough to go to Torrance Lytle, I believe.
I think about like eighth grade, something like that.
He might have gone to eighth grade at Ada Jenkins when Mr. Harrison was there, but he might, I'm not sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you go to the prom together?
Mm-mm.
Who did you go to the prom with? Can you remember?
Let me see, my first year prom, I went with a guy in the neighborhood named Don Williams. He's no longer around. And my junior year prom, I think I went with one of my classmates. My senior year prom, I went with Joe.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the prom. What was the prom at Torrance Lytle like?
I don't know.
Was it a big deal, or was it just a dance that everybody went to? I mean, did people plan for months? And when I was in high school, they did major decorations.
They had a lot of decorations, and the parents and the teachers were, some of the parents that was on the PTA board, they were asked to help with chaperoning and with refreshments, and along with the teachers.
Who did the music? Do you have the records, or did you... People in school play?
Mm-mm. Who did the music for that? I know the senior prom, we had someone do the music.
Mm-hmm.
And the little prom that, that I had earlier, it was records.
I didn't go to my prom, so I don't know what they did. Well, I think they hired bands a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
just small, local.
Mm-hmm. Can I get you some tea?
I think that's a lot if you got one. If you want them to have some.
Mm-hmm.